Thank you. How many have had the flu hit their house this past week? Oh yeah, a couple. It's in my house right now too. So I'm here, but I'm here. So anyway, this is where I'm at. So there's a little bit of praying for grace for me to get through this, but yeah, flu is not very fun, hey? But I have prepared well, so don't worry about that part. Anyway, we're going to explore a little bit this morning about emotionally healthy relationships. It's a series that we've been doing, and it's kind of coming off the heels of emotionally healthy spirituality, which we did in the group last year in the fall. So you might wonder why we're looking at this. It's not like an in-depth Bible study necessarily. It's another topical thing. But part of it is, if we remember the verse when the leaders came to Jesus and said, "What's the most important commandment?" Jesus said to them, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind, and love your neighbors as yourself." So it's this understanding that this is the essence of what spirituality is. This is the basis, is what Sherry said. It's the vertical upward, loving God, and it's the horizontal sideways, loving our neighbors and loving each other. So learning to love is very important. It's really an essential part of our faith. Pete Scazzaro, who leads this course about emotional healthy spirituality, he says, "We can't grow in spiritual maturity unless we're also growing in emotional maturity." So emotions and learning how to be emotionally mature are very essential and part of our faith. Another verse that reminds us why this is important is from 1 Corinthians 13. "If I speak in the tongues of men or angels, but I do not have love, I am just a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give my body to hardship so that I may boast, but I don't have love, I gain nothing." So we're just reminded that like we can do all sorts of amazing things for the kingdom. We could just go do so many things, but if we don't have love rooted in us, it really is worthless. It's not really getting us anywhere. Love is the main thing. Love is kingdom work. It's not just a side thing that we do after we do the kingdom work. Love is the work of the kingdom. I didn't bring the article, but Sarah Bessie, if you want to look, had an article about A.W. Tauzer. Do you guys remember him? He talked about the pursuit of God, and he was this man who just loved Jesus and pursued Jesus, but it was at the detriment of his family and his friends. Like, he ignored the relationship part, only in pursuit of God. And that is not healthy emotional spirituality. That's not what we're called to do. We're not just called to just pursue God. We're also, part of pursuing God is loving in relationship, and that is very key. Another reason why this is important, this is Scott Erickson. He's a wonderful artist that I love. But this is his image of the Trinity. And if we remember, the Trinity, Father, Son, Spirit, is always in relationship, always giving, always receiving. So to be made in the image of God, in essence, is to be made for relationship. So this is very much why relationships are key. Bishop Callisto's Ware says, "Human beings are called to reproduce on earth the mystery of mutual love that the Trinity lives in heaven." So our whole life is about living in this love, just giving and receiving this relationship. But love is not always easy. Sometimes we think it is. Let's just love. That's the answer. Just put a blanket of love on it. But we know that it's not that simple. Love takes work. Love requires practice and skill. We can't just assume that we know how to love well. So this week and next week and all the way through the end of February, that's what we're doing. Each week we're kind of learning a practical skill about loving so that we can grow in our relationships, grow in our emotional health, so we can love God and love others well. And if you want to go deeper, they have the same, Pete Scazzaro has the same book as he did for the Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, which is a day-by-day book, and there's a morning exercise and an evening exercise that you can do. I really love these ones because it calls for like a little time of silence, some scripture, some reflection, and then gives you a question to sit with God that really like probes you deeper. So if you're looking for somewhere to go a bit deeper, that's an option. So this week, Our topic is called Explore the Iceberg. If you think of icebergs, this is what we often see. We see this big jutting piece of ice sticking out of the ground. It's grand, it's majestic, it calls us to attention, it calls us to wonder. But if we go under the surface, what we can remember, perhaps, is that an iceberg, what you see on the top is 10%, and what happens under the surface is 90%. And so in emotional healthy spirituality, we're called to remember that what we see in the outside of our lives and one another is just such a fraction of what's really going on. There's all sorts of things going on under the surface. The top percent is what's visible, maybe our outward behaviors, how we present ourselves to each other, the public. But underneath, there's a lot of factors at play that inform our behavior. There's experiences that we've had, feelings that we carry, maybe motivations, values, belief. All these things are under the surface, and they inform what comes up. And so our call today is to explore the iceberg, to take the time to look deeper in our lives, to look in our inner selves and figure out what's happening, and so we can know how it's informing how we're acting, how it's informing our relationships. We learn in Luke 6, it says, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the proverb says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. So both of these verses remind us that what happens in our inner lives comes out. And so to taking the time to care for our inner lives, to reflect on how we're feeling, what's happening, is so integral because it is what comes out. So we're going to look below the surface and examine our inner lives, become self-aware, begin to examine and identify the hidden forces that shape and play at how we navigate our choices and our relationship. And so one question you might ask is, why is it important to go deep? And here are some things that we can learn. We know that if we don't process our emotions, if things just happen to us and we just kind of try to push them down and keep going, we have learned a couple things. One of them is that we learned that unprocessed emotions don't die. A lot of times when we push things away and just say, this isn't a big deal, I'm not going to bother it, one thing that happens is that our body still holds it, even if our mind is trying not to. There's some really good books about this. Gabor Maté has a book called When the Body Says No. And Bessel van der Kolk, he has a book called What the Body Keeps the Score. And both of these are books that just look at how our body holds our emotions and our tensions, even if we're trying not to in our brain. It just happens. Our emotions don't die. So it's worth processing. Another thing we know is unprocessed emotions, they leak out. It's very hard to keep them compartmentalized. You can see this in your kids. If you're a parent, I see this. When my kids come home all day and they've been trying to be strong all day and they get home and it's just like, right? Like everything leaks out. And I'm sure as parents, we do that too, right? We have our own day and we try to keep everything together for everyone else, and then we come home to the ones that we love and the things that we have not processed, they just leak out and they affect our relationships. So when we aren't aware of how to process our emotions, they leak. Unprocessed emotions, they also limit our capacity for positive emotions. So there is this example in the book where they describe it like this. If you think about a layer of oil on water and how our negative emotions, they aren't bad emotions, right? We all have negative emotions, but if we don't process them, they kind of make this film over the more positive emotions. And so if we're not dealing with some of the hard things like our sadness or our fear or our anger, if we're not dealing with those and working on them, we are kind of not able to access the others as well. Brené Brown, she says it like this: you can't just numb those hard feelings without numbing the other affects, your emotions. You cannot selectively numb. So when we numb those, the hard things, we're also numbing joy and gratitude and happiness. So not only do unprocessed emotions limit our capacity for positive emotions, they also limit our capacity for deep, authentic relationships. If we are only sticking to the surface top 10% of our lives, we are going to relate to other people in those top surfaces. But there's so much more. Like the picture shows us, there's just so much more to be had in our relationships. We don't need to be surface dwellers. God wants to know us. He longs to know us in our deep selves. And he wants us to know each other in our deep layers too. This is another quote. Ignoring our emotions is turning our back on reality. Listening to our emotions ushers us into reality. And reality is where we meet God. Emotions are the language of the soul. They are the cry that gives the heart a voice. However, if we turn a deaf ear, whether it's through emotional denial or distortion or disengagement, we begin to strain out anything disturbing just to gain control of our world. We might be frightened and ashamed of what leaks into our consciousness, but in neglecting these intense emotions, we are false to ourselves, and we lose a wonderful opportunity to know God. We forget that change comes through brutal honesty and vulnerability before God. So this is an invitation God has for us to go deep. But I know that I do, and I'm sure you do too, there are barriers that may stop us from wanting to do this. These are some of the barriers that I identified as I was thinking about this. One of the barriers is our family example. Depending on how our families taught us how to deal with emotions, that really affects how we deal with emotions. Maybe your family has an unwritten rule, like, oh, just keep smiling, right? That would really limit your ability to go lower. Or a loving person doesn't get angry, or don't cry, right? As soon as we have these things in our family, it's going to affect ourselves. And if we carry these things into our adulthood, it might limit our awareness of our own emotions, and it might actually be stifling authentic relationships. Another barrier might be just our longing to have a good appearance, thinking about what others think of us. We want to come across as strong or pulled together. So sometimes we just put on our glittering self or put a bow on us, right? Like this is my best self. I'm going to portray that. And in a way of doing that, it becomes a barrier because we don't let the rest of ourselves come out forward. Another barrier might be that we're too busy. Life is just busy. It's hard to find time to go deeper. And sometimes we just keep going and we keep finding the next thing to get involved in our lives or in someone else's life. And when we're doing that, we just actually don't have time to sink lower and think about where we're at and meet God in those places. Another barrier might be shame. Like we just read, exploring under the iceberg, exploring in ourselves, it takes unmasked, painful honesty at times. And even though we know Jesus says the truth will set us free, being honest, being truthful, it will set us free, we also see in Adam and Eve, the moment they're exposed, they just want to hide, right? There's this human tendency that we feel bad about ourselves and we try to cover it up and we try to just stay at the surface. So there's this shame that sometimes is a barrier. So before we can go deeper, one thing that we need to know is we need to rest in the songs that we sang this morning. We need to know that God is a good Father who loves us. Love has to come first. We have to know the unending, boundless, abundant mercy, grace, goodness of God, and just let that transform us. We need to know that no matter where we go, if we sink deeper, there is nothing that will separate us from God's love. And we have to just know that. And when we know that, that peace can abide in us, and so we don't need to be fearful anymore. Another barrier, it might be fear. Oh, that's also connecting with shame, I was just saying too. The fear of what's going to happen when I begin to expose things. Where is this going to go? What's the depth of the pain I'm going to need to cry out, right? Sometimes we're afraid of that. And that's the same thing. We just need to know God's got enough for us. We need to know that. And we also need to know it's natural to feel pain. This world is not as it's supposed to be. So it makes sense that we won't feel great all the time. And the longing or the grief or the pain that we might feel is actually just a hunger for what God has for us, for heaven, hunger for God. So the grief can be something good that points us to God instead of just being stuck in there. Another barrier might be trauma. I'll just give an example. Last year, we had a number of traumatic things happen in our church, and then I was feeling it all, like I could feel it all in my body, the church trauma. And then I had this like freak physical accident, which we've talked about before, where I got on a pogo stick and fell and broke my jaw and broke my arm and all and on. Yes, it was this fun moment being super mom. But what happened in that moment is instantly I felt fine. It was like my brain and my body detached. There's something in this trauma, this disassociation that happened. Counselors in the room would know this. But in trauma, sometimes we just actually can't feel. We can't read our body. There's this distance that happens. And so sometimes that's what stopped us from going deeper. There's actually a barrier. And if that's the case, then I've worked really hard this year with trauma counselors and myself to begin to like reintegrate my body and my brain to be able to process things. And so that is, there's reasons sometimes why we can't go deeper, but there are people and resources that can help us. Another barrier might even be our Christian beliefs. There are a lot of churches that teach that feelings are unreliable. Our emotions are unreliable. We need to stick to the truth. Some circles say that, you know, when we can push down the badness, the grief, the pain, it's actually a Christian virtue to be able to cling to the joy, cling to what we can celebrate, cling to the victories, cling to when we're strong. So sometimes our Christian faith is actually something that can become a barrier. It might feel bad or unspiritual to admit when we're afraid or admit that we might have anger or grief. So if you reflect on these, I just wanted to do a little poll just to see if any of these resonate with you. So I'm going to see if I can get out here. So we have this lovely technology called Mentimeter. So if you have a phone, you can pull it out, and you can go to this website. It says menti.com. It's going to ask you to stick in your code, and there's a number there. And I just want you to think, if you think about going deeper, where might you feel a barrier in your own life? Could it be around your family, appearances, being too busy, shame, fear, trauma, or beliefs? And it's anonymous, so no one can see, but we can kind of just get a feeling of what some of the barriers are for us in this room. I love using tools like this because it's not just me talking anymore, right? We suddenly can be part of one another's life and realize these are the things that make it difficult for us to go deep. It seems like the biggest one is being too busy. Our schedules restrict us from taking time. So we can be aware of that as we are with each other to try to give each other time. We have a wide diversity. The only one we don't have is Christian beliefs that have felt like it's restricting us. So that's interesting. Yeah, I think that's kind of busy. Like if we don't have enough time, I would connect it, but definitely too tired. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to leave it there. 44 people responded. Way to go, guys. So if we go to the Bible, we are going to find some people who encounter God. One example that we see in the Bible is King David, and he's called a man after God's heart. But what we see in David and in the Psalms, he is full of emotion, the whole range of emotion, from lament to joy to anger to despair to grief to like full-out celebration. He holds nothing back. If we read in Psalm 22, these are some of the things that he says to God. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? So he's just calling out. He doesn't hold back. He feels just like forgotten, and he doesn't hold that back. And he's still called a man after God's own heart. We don't have to be afraid of saying these things to God. We also see Job. He is called the blameless man or the sinless man. And he is a man who has experienced loss after loss after loss. And he holds back nothing. Also in Job 3, we read, Job opened his mouth and he cursed the day of his birth. And he said, may the day of my birth perish. If only my anguish could be weighed on all the misery placed on scales, it would outweigh the sands of the sea. So both these men are so vulnerable, and they just throw it all out there, and they're still called after God's own heart and blameless. Philip Yancey says, one bold message in the book of Job is that you can say anything to God. Throw at him your grief or your anger or your doubt or your bitterness or your disappointment. He can absorb them all. God can handle it all. Not only in characters in the Bible, we also just see in Jesus. These are some verses about Jesus' emotions that we find in the Bible. We read that he is greatly disturbed. He's deeply moved. He shed tears. Jesus was filled with joy and overwhelmed with grief. Jesus was angry. Jesus was distressed. He was furious. He was sorrowful and troubled. Jesus was astonished. His heart was moved with compassion. He expressed amazement, and he longed to be with disciples. There's this full, robust range of emotional spirituality in Jesus. So if we look at the people in our Bible, and we look at Jesus, we know that we don't need to feel like it's not Christian to show emotion, or it's not healthy to have fears or doubts. Jesus had this robust expression of emotions, and he didn't just express them from himself. When he met people, he called people to go to these places. If you think about his encounters with people, the questions he asked people, it was always to go deeper. Last week at the Women's Night, Dale led us through an exercise on the Samaritan woman, and this is a painting about her, but it was the same story there as well. Jesus came to her, and she had all these things that she was trying to keep hidden, and Jesus just spoke deeply. He was a person who was deep, and he spoke deeply to her and was able to heal her and meet her and transform her in those deep places. And that's what Jesus and God are inviting us to do, to love us right here in the middle of whatever is going on in us, to offer us living water from right here, and to transform us from right here. So how do we do this? How do we learn to go deep? And there's three little steps we're going to go through. One is a step of noticing, second is a step of exploring, and three is a step of encounter. So the first step, if we want to go deep and to submerge ourselves under the surface level, is just to spend time noticing, becoming aware, slowing down, taking time to acknowledge and be aware of where we're really at. Some of the ways of doing this might be taking a bit of time in silence. You know, things are busy, and just finding a spot to be still and quiet for 2 minutes, and sometimes we become aware of what's happening in us. Another way is mindfulness. There's lots of mindfulness apps that are available, but what I've appreciated this year is we often take stock of our thoughts. We're a culture that really values left brain thoughts, and we're less aware of what our bodies and our emotions are saying. So when I try to do a little check-in this year, what's been helpful is to start, they call it bottoms up, it's a trauma care way, is you start thinking with your body and then your emotions and then your brain. So first check in, am I holding tension anywhere? Oh yeah, right here, or like my jaw. And so where does that tension telling me? It's telling me that I'm fearful of something. So then you check in with your body and your emotions, and then your thoughts. Another way is the Ignatian form called the Examen. You can find that online. You can find prayers that you can read through, or even guided prayers like Pray As You Go is an app that you can do, and it will do a little prayer for you to just spend time thinking about, where did you notice God today? What was hard? What was good? These are ways of noticing. Journaling is a wonderful way of noticing. whether it's just writing or even if it's art journaling. That's another way that I found really important this year, is just like just getting some paints and just throwing out how you feel on a piece of paper. It's just a way of noticing. And if you get stuck and you're having trouble, there's a lot of like spiritual directors or counselors or therapists or even friends that you can talk to and say, hey, I need to go deeper. Can you help me? So there's things that we can do practically and then ways we can help each other in this process as well. So something to note here is that in noticing, this is something that we have to practice regularly, because how I feel at this moment will probably be different by the end of the week and different by the beginning of next week and next week. So this is like a regular rhythm to regularly check in with ourselves. And then also to be aware that sometimes when we spend time on ourselves, we might feel bad or feel like we're being selfish or like narcissistic or something. We're spending too much time on ourselves. But what I want to say is that to spend too much time on yourself on the surface level, how you look, how you appear, what's going on there, that's where it can be selfish and greedy and narcissistic. But when you spend time for yourself to go deep and care for the deeper emotions or what's really happening, this is actually health. This is mental health, spiritual health, physical health. So you can stop feeling bad and realize this is how we care for ourselves. So once we notice our emotions, once we're able to put things on the paper, like, okay, I recognize this is what's going on for me, what do we do next? The next step is we explore. So we don't just say, okay, well, that's a fact, I'm fearful. I know that about myself and get stuck there, right? There's a step that we explore that. Scott Erickson, again, he has this painting about going deeper in our heart. So there's always something to explore. So when you notice something in yourself, just like think about it as exploration or excavation, like some kind of like, you know, childhood discovery. You're like playing in the sandbox and digging deeper to try to see what's happening under the surface. So we can ask why. Why do I feel dread about this meeting? Why am I trying so hard? I notice I'm trying, I'm striving. Why am I doing that? So you just begin to like ask yourself, I notice I show up late to everything. Why am I doing that, right? You just begin to ask yourself the questions and notice how God wants to take you through that. When we explore and we excavate, we can notice different roots, whether that comes connected to our past experiences or connected to our motivations or our desires or our values. We can discover these things when we explore. In the exploration, another thing to note is that anger, if we find anger, anger is usually a surface emotion. So we can feel angry, but there's usually something else going on under our anger. There's usually something that we're fearful of. We're feeling afraid, and it's expressing ourselves in anger. Or maybe there's some place that we feel hurt, and we're getting angry about that. Maybe there's something that we really value that someone else violated, and it's about our value, right? Or maybe we had an expectation about somebody that maybe we didn't even share. But there's these other things that can be happening under our anger. So if you notice you have anger, it's good to do that next level of exploring. What is happening at those layers underneath? So the whole way with when you discover things, you don't have to take them as fact. You don't have to take them as lifelong. I'm going to be stuck here forever. Just come with a posture of being curious. See your emotions like you would see, you know, the gas light in your car, right? It's an indicator, oh, I need to do a little self-care here. I need to take care of something, or there's something going on I need to tend to. So when things come up, it's not a diagnosis that you're going to get stuck there, right? It's a light of hope, of something you can notice and go forward from. So once again, we notice, we explore, but there's a third step, and the third step is encounter, and this is where we bring it to God. So we can know what's happening in our life, we can explore, but sometimes we can feel stuck there too, right? Okay, now I know these things. So we can, as Christians, as believers, Everyone, we can bring these things to God. God has abundance for us. He, God Emmanuel, the God who is with us, can meet us in anything. There's nothing that he can't meet us in. So when we discover these things, what we can do is we can take the time to express them to God like David and Job did, like Jesus did. We can express it. And then we can just imagine also God meeting us there. I like to do this visually. I like to just close my eyes and just like cry out to Jesus and then imagine Jesus beside me and think about what would Jesus do here? I know he's the God of all comfort. What would he do? And sometimes I can imagine him like wrapping his arm around me or like throwing something with me or, you know, like he connects with us in that where we are. But then he also invites us to go beyond. He always has like, you know, he'll trade our ashes for beauty. He'll trade our sorrow. And so he can meet us in those places and invite us beyond those places too. So these are practical things for ourselves, but we've learned, you know, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And as we go deeper in ourselves and have God transform us at these deeper places, it will ripple out. It will ripple out into how we connect with others, how the overflow comes. We're going to become better lovers of God and better lovers of people. So I love to get creative and practical and actually do this stuff. Not just talk about this stuff, but do this stuff. So that's what we're going to do now. So I have paper for everyone, and maybe Ryan can help me pass some. You can just pass it down your rows. Everyone can take a paper. Grab a pencil and pass that down also. So if our number one barrier is that we're too busy, well then we're going to do it now. We're going to have time together now. So just to begin with, once you get your paper, I'd like you to fold it in half. So you kind of have four sections, two on one side, two on the other. And the way this works is I'm just going to guide us, walk us through a little examination of our emotions and just see what we notice. Okay, so it's going to be calm. I'm going to start with silence. And then we're going to begin to, I'll just say an emotion and you begin to write down what you notice and I'll kind of guide the process. We're going to notice, we're going to explore, and we're going to encounter Jesus in this. So some things as you're getting ready is if you have fear, you can know that nobody else will see your paper. This is just about you. This is about you and God just taking a bit of time to go deeper. If you notice things come up, it's okay. Just notice them, like they say for mindfulness, like notice it like a cloud passing by. You don't have to take it all in and feel like overcome by every emotion that you feel. Just notice it and write it down. You can be honest. God is with us in this exercise. So this isn't about what you think you should feel. This is about how you actually do feel in this moment. Did everyone get a paper? Okay. So I'm going to read aloud four words or emotions, and then I'm going to give you 2 minutes just to think about that emotion for a little while. And write down any responses that come to your mind, whether it's about current feelings or past feelings that come up really strong, just what comes to your mind. Some people might notice this comes really easy, and some this is difficult, and that's okay. It's just, we're just exploring together. If you finish before the time is over, then just look them over, explore them, see what God's highlighting, what's happening there. So let's just take a moment of silence together. And then I'll pray and then we'll begin this. Yeah. Because I'll tell you. So I'm going to say a word and you're going to write your word at the top of one of the four sections that you have. And then in that section, we're going to explore that emotion. And then we're going to move to another word, another emotion, and then we'll explore that one. So we're going to kind of go through four emotions together here. So let's just take a minute of silence, actually, and just quiet your heart. But God, we're thankful that you're with us here and that you are good. And there's nothing to fear. But as we go deeper and see where we're at under the surface, you will meet us there. And you promise to meet us and love us and begin to transform us, to help us just feel that hope of your presence and your longing for us. So in your first space, I'm going to ask you to write the word anger or angry. So just take a moment and think, is there anything right now that you feel angry about? It could be present or past, anything that you feel angry about. As you're writing down things you're angry about, also notice how your body feels when you're reflecting on anger. Do you notice any tension coming anywhere? Just write that down too. And with the anger too, you can think of a metaphor, like this feels like this. Is there an image that can describe this anger that you feel in your body or about the experience? Just see if you can come up with a metaphor. Okay, so we're going to move to the next one. Next one, you can write sadness. So list if there's anything that you feel sad about this morning. Just first notice those things and list them. And as you're listening, notice if you feel the sadness in this particular spot in your body. And write that down too. Where do you carry your sadness? Where does this hit you? And finally, a metaphor. This feels like. Can you relate your feeling of sadness to something else? This feels like. And write that down. Okay, we're going to move on to quadrant number 3. So you can write worry at the top of number 3. So just take a moment to think about anything that you might feel anxious or feel worried about and write those down. And the same with worry. Think, where do you feel that in your body as you're reflecting on your anxiety? And write that down. And if you could describe it as a metaphor, this worry feels like, how would you finish that sentence? So we have one more. And this one's a shift to something that you feel glad about. So we're going to end. Where do you feel glad or where do you feel joy? And just make a list of those things. So notice how it feels in your body to think about the things that you're feeling joyful for, or glad for, or grateful for. Just notice that and write that down. And a metaphor, as you think of your joy, think of your gladness, it feels like. And write that down. So we're just going to take a moment. Maybe Sherry, could you come up for a song? So this is like a brief little exercise of how you can explore how to go deeper. And we're going to move into a bit of an encounter with Jesus here. And I want you to just look at your paper and notice if there's one thing on that paper that feels like it's kind of taking the priority for you today. Is it, maybe it's in the anger or the sadness or the fear or in the joy. Is there one piece that feels like the weightiest in your life right now? So we're going to take that thing, whatever it is, and we're going to encounter Jesus, encounter God in that thing today. And we're going to do that through communion, through worship, through your own imagination. We're just going to take a moment to bring that thing that's the most pressing for you and to bring it to God. So I'm just going to do a little prayer about that. And then you're welcome to come forward and take communion here and imagine God meeting you in that thing. So God, we thank you that you invite us to go deep. We thank you that you modeled for us this huge range of emotion. We thank you that you have enough for us, that you love us. There is nothing that can separate you and us. Your love is abundant. So God, we just pray that you meet us in our particular thing today, whatever it is. So in your mind's eye, if you imagine yourself encountering God, just imagine what that encounter would be like. What would you be doing? What would God be doing? How does God look at you? What would God say to you? What's God inviting you to? So why don't we just stand up and just change your posture, like Sherry said, and we're going to move towards this communion. So this bread here is a symbol of God's body, broken for us. And the juice is a symbol of God's blood, Jesus' blood poured out for us. So when you come, there's bread on this side, there's gluten-free crackers on this side if you need, and you're just going to take some bread and we're going to dip it in, and it's a symbol of Jesus meeting us right where we are, right in our particular emotion of the day, and he has enough for us. So just come line up, and Sherry's going to sing.